Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. I'd like to deal with the first 9 verses of 1 Corinthians. Before we begin, though, let's ask our Lord's blessing. Our Father, this evening we do thank you for another time that we can come together. And Lord, we thank you for the blessing of being able to hear the gospel. We pray that tonight would you bless the word by the Holy Spirit. Bless it to our hearts, to our understanding. Lord, teach us. Oh, how desperately we need to be taught. We ask these things for Christ's sake. Amen. There's nothing that is more refreshing to a believer than to be able to hear the glorious report of God's mercy and grace to his people. That Almighty God would be pleased, though he saw nothing in the recipients of his mercy, that he would be pleased to show mercy to a sinner, to a rebel, to a worm, such as we. We rejoice that the Lord has shown mercy. I'm so thrilled that we have a place right here that we can get in an automobile and in a few minutes we can meet together. So many people don't have that. And at best they drive hours, hours, hours. But God has raised up a place in this little town and has sustained it all these years. Now the Apostle Paul is now writing a letter to a church that God raised up. Just like he raised up this church right here, Katy Baptist Church. Almighty God raised up an assembly in a city called Corinth. Corinth. And in the first 2 chapters, when we going through this book, I'm just going verse by verse. The first 2 chapters of this book, the Apostle Paul was blessed by the Spirit of God to teach these people something of the glorious mercy of the Lord. Taught them what God Almighty had done for them. Taught them and called them out of darkness. Kept them, sustained them. And now in verse 3, and again we must understand in chapter 3, that this word is breathed by the Spirit of God. Now God Almighty wrote these words. They were penned by the Apostle Paul. But these are God-breathed words. And when we hear the gospel of God's grace preached, we must understand this is the same message that the Lord Jesus Christ preached. These are his words. So as we consider these words, let's be mindful of whose words these are. Now in this 3rd chapter, the Apostle Paul is going to deal with a subject, and it's painful to the flesh, I'm going to tell you right now, but oh how needful it is. We need to be reminded by the Holy Spirit that we are sinners, that we are kept by the power of God through faith. And that faith that has been given us, it wasn't of ourselves. We weren't born with faith. That is the gift of God. And when Almighty God gives a man, gives a woman a heart to believe, oh, what a gift. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the Lord's got to give faith. So here we're going to consider a few things, and I want to remind us before. I want to say it's good for us that we've been afflicted. That's what King David said. It's good for me that I've been afflicted that I might learn thy statutes. Now I want us to look at these first 9 verses, and let's hear what the Spirit of God has to say. Paul the Apostle writing says, "And I, brethren," now here's what I want us to do before we go any farther. Who is he writing to? He's writing to believers. He's writing to believers. He's writing to those that he's convinced are members of the body of Christ. He's writing to those that he's assured by as much as Paul could know that these were redeemed and regenerated sinners. But there was a dilemma. And as these first 9 verses unfold, we're going to see what the dilemma was. But here's it. There was a problem. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Now this is what he told them. He said, "I'm not able, I can't speak to you as mature believers." But he said, "I'm going to have to speak to you as babes in Christ. I'm going to have to talk to you like you would a baby." And he said, verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." Now, here's what the apostle is telling them. He said, I realized by your actions, that he's going to bring out in just a couple of verses here, that I could not speak to you as being spiritually mature. He said, I had to speak to you because of your attitude and your behavior. I had to talk to you like babies. I had to talk to you like babes in Christ. He said, and here's the reason. He said, you were not able to bear it, neither are you able. First part of verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. Here's what he's saying. He said, you're acting like unbelievers. You're acting like those that don't know the Lord. And he said, I'm convinced that you do. He said, now I fed you with milk. I have saturated your mind with milk. Now I'm gonna deal with a subject. You know, you think of the milk of the word and the meat of the word, and Paul is telling them right here, I fed you with milk and not with meat. Now I'm gonna deal with something that is an amazing truth. It's amazing to me. I know it will be to you. Here's an amazing thing. When somebody talks about the milk for babies, or the meat for mature believers, you know, you think, well, I wonder, what is the difference there? What is the difference? He said, I fed you, when it says with milk, he said, this is what I did. I fed you with the ABCs of the gospel and not with meat. He said, I did not saturate your mind with maturity. Now, let me make something perfectly clear. I'm going to tell you the difference in the milk for babies and the meat for aged believers. Now here, get a hold of this, because I want to make sure that you understand, because we're going to deal with this for a few verses here, and I want you to understand the difference in the milk for babies and the meat for believers. There's none. There is no difference. Here is the milk of the word for babes. The fundamentals of the gospel. When any gospel preacher sets forth the truth of God's word, here's the fundamentals of the gospel. Man is a totally depraved sinner. Almighty God, through no merit in those that he chose to show mercy, Almighty God elected a people from before the foundation of the world that he was going to show mercy and compassion to whomsoever he would. Did he have right to choose one and pass by another? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Why? Because he said, all souls are mine. Souls of the Son, the soul of the Father, they're mine. Soul that sinneth is going to die. When Christ went to the cross, for whom did he die? He died for his people. He was their absolute substitute. He bore their sins in his own body, and they were his. They were his sins. Psalm 40 says, mine iniquities, more than the hairs of my head, I can't look up. When he became sin, when he was made sin, he was made what his people are. When the Spirit of God is pleased to call out one of God's elect that Christ died for, he's going to call them irresistibly. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. He's going to call God's elect and they will come. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And concerning all that the Father gave the Lord Jesus Christ in electing grace from before the foundation of the world, Almighty God's going to keep them. They're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, that's the ABCs of the gospel. Somebody say, oh, that's high doctrine. No, that's what God Almighty calls his people out teaching right there. That's the ABCs of the gospel. That's the milk to babes. Well, what is the meat to the mature? Man is a totally depraved sinner, and I'll go through all five of them again. It's the same message. It's the same word. It's the same gospel. So when we talk about milk to the babe and meat to the aged believer, taught believer, the message never changes. Paul says, I am determined not to preach anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He didn't come out and say, now this is going to be for babies today. All you aged and, you know, mature believers, which everybody would just sit there real proudly, you know, say, well, this is not going to be for me. No, it's the same message. It's the same message. But there's a difference, and we'll look at that. Those first two chapters, Paul set forth the fundamental truths of the gospel, the milk of the word. That message by which God calls his people out. And listen to this in 1 Peter 2:2-3. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That you may grow in the same message. That you may grow thereby if so be you've tasted that the Lord is good. So here's what we realize. There is no difference. There's not two messages. There's not a higher and a lower doctrine. It gets no higher than the glorious gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ. It gets no higher. It gets no better. This is the message of life. This is the message. This is the message that God calls out the babies and nourishes them. And this is the message that the mature believers mature into more and more. They grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior. So there's not two sets of doctrine, higher and lower faith, one for babies, the other for mature. When my kids were little, I would teach them. I'd say, now here, listen to me. I want you to be fair. I want you to don't steal, don't cheat, don't lie. You know, I want you to be helpful. I want you to, you know, make sure you get your chores done, stuff like that, you know. And that was kind of some rules, just ground rules. Now, do you know what I expect right now of my children? And they're all grown. They all got kids. Don't lie. You know, be fair. You know, just be honorable, be respectful. Now, there's one rule. That rule for that child was the rule for the adult. It's the same rule right now. But I expect that adult is going to act maturely. I'm going to expect. If I told Gabe when he was growing up, he would go out there and he'd go out on the job with me. We'd go out, be hanging vinyl siding. And he'd go up and he'd get a piece of, you know, vinyl out of a box and bring it to me. And I said, "Oh, Gabe, you did such a good job. I, you know, I'm so proud of you." Now that's, you know, okay. I expect him now, as a grown man, to be honorable in his profession, do it right, do it with sincerity and truthfulness. I expect maturity. Same message, but there is a maturing. When a person begins to grow, you don't act like a child anymore. These at Corinth, though they had been taught the gospel, and they were believers, Paul addressed them as believers, though they had heard the message of the gospel, which was milk to babes in Christ, that they weren't acting like mature believers. They were hearing the gospel, but they were acting like children. They were acting like carnal. That's what Paul was telling them. So therefore, the Apostle Paul, he said, I've got to continue preaching to you, treating you like children. In verse 3, he said, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there's among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men, as the world?" He said, what should have been for your maturing, hearing of the truth, was obviously not manifested. This same thing was dealt with. Hold your place right there. Turn over to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5 for a minute. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. Here's what the scripture says. Hebrews 5:11, "Of whom we have many things to say," he's talking to this church of the Hebrews, "hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing, for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Before I go any farther, let me just say something that was a real help to me one time. I heard this from Brother Henry. It's not, you know, that's where I heard it. He said the difference in an aged believer and a babe in Christ. He said, a babe in Christ hears the gospel and God gives them faith and they believe it. They walk in. They love it. And he said, here's the meat of the word. Here's the meat of the word. Here's the strong meat of the same message. It's when God Almighty teaches that believer and they now begin to walk with some maturity. He said, the setting forth of the maturity that is wrought by the Spirit of God through the preaching of the gospel and beholding it in the lives of believers, seeing some maturity. He said, that's when a believer is said to be eating strong meat. The doctrine itself is the milk of the word. The effects of the gospel of God's sovereign grace upon a person is the meat that is wrought, the effect, the manifestation. Does that make sense to you? I mean, you understand what it is. If there is not a manifestation, do we believe in salvation by works? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Not by works of righteousness that we've done. But according to His mercy, He saved us. But does a believer walk and manifest what the Scriptures declare is good works? Love for the brethren. You know, love for God's Word. I mean, there's a work. And it's not a work that they put any confidence in for their salvation. But it's a manifestation of maturity. That's the meat. That's the strong meat. I'm going to tell you something. People can say, I believe in the 5 points of Calvinism. That's wonderful. I tell you what, that's good. I believe the gospel of God's grace. Walk, adorn the gospel that you profess. Walk like a believer. Walk with some maturity. That's what Paul is telling them. Now he said here in Hebrews 5, he says in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. He said, now, we have some things to say and to be explained, is what he's saying, as the Spirit of God gives understanding. But he said, you're dull of hearing. That is, you've become spiritually lazy and slothful, exhibiting spiritual immaturity toward the revelation of Christ. He said, this is God's Word. He said, walk in it. Walk like a believer. Walk like a believer. He said, everyone, verse 13, that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. I had to look at that verse of Scripture for a while this afternoon, but I believe this is what the apostle is saying. For everyone that useth, that is, everyone that is partaking of what the Scripture sets forth as the milk of the Word, everyone that is a baby, he said, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. That is, a babe is not expected to walk and to act like a grown man, a grown woman. I mean, just if you hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, but if it's the milk of the word to you, the experience of the gospel may not be there as an infant. Yesterday, Glenda and I was over at an office, and there was a small little girl, and she was under this chairs. There was 5 chairs in a row, and her mama and somebody else was sitting there, and she's on the floor, and she had 5 little stuffed animals. And she had a little stuffed animal under every chair. And they were all turned the same way. And I'm sure in her mind, they're all sleeping. That's what it looked like to me. She'd put them, all these little stuffed animals, to bed. And she was so cute. And she was talking to them. And she'd talk, and she was petting them and things like that. And I thought, you know, that it's the cutest thing. You know, she's aware. They sleep. You know, and that's great. Unless I would see a grown woman down there under that chair with little stuffed animals, and she's, you know, talking to them. Now something's wrong. What was milk to this little baby, after a while, I mean, there should be some maturity. And this is what the Apostle Paul was saying. He said, everyone that useth milk is unskillful. There's no experience in the word of righteousness because he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He said strong meat, solid food. Solid food. What is the solid food? It's the gospel. What is the milk to babes? It's the gospel. That's why we never change our message. We never, never. Somebody tells us, you know, you need to get some more material. There ain't no more material. This is it. This is it. This is what feeds the children. These children that sit need to hear the same gospel that the elders do in this congregation. It's the same message. And the Spirit of God teaches where they are, where they are. I was in an art class. I was a senior. And it was all four classifications. There was freshmen to seniors. I was a senior. And the professor came and there was some still lifes there. And it was a charcoal class. And he said, now, everybody is going to, he said, y'all get your easels wherever you want to. And here they are right there. He said, now you pick the one and you go ahead and draw it. And he said, I'm going to grade you where you are. I'm going to give you a grade, but I guarantee you that he did not expect the seniors to be been in art school for 4 years. If they're drawing like freshmen, then it ain't going to go well. I can tell you that right now. That's the way it is. It's the same message. It's the same glorious gospel. It's the same message. Milk to babes is strong meat to the aged. Then the Apostle Paul, back in 1 Corinthians, he said what the problem was. He set forth. He said in verse 4, he said, for you're yet carnal. For whereas there's among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal? Do you not walk as men? What he was saying was this. He said there's some divisions here. And they shouldn't be. There should not be this envy and strife and division. He said, what you're doing, verse 4, one saith, I'm of Paul. I like Paul. Another says, I'm of Apollos. I like Apollos. I'd rather hear Paul preach. And I said, well, no, I'd rather hear Apollos preach. Apollos, I like the way, you know. He said, are you not carnal? Are you not acting like babies? Now, the problem was not the gospel they preached. It wasn't that these Paul and Apollos was preaching two different messages. They were preaching the same message. But what the problem was one group was captivated by one man's preaching and the other one was captivated by another man's preaching. Paul had already mentioned this in chapter 1. We dealt with this a few weeks ago. So the issue was not the message. The issue was personality. Their delivery. Or some other outward manner that, you know, to compare one man to another. And Paul said, you're acting carnally. He said, you're acting like unbelievers. You're acting like men of the flesh. Just remember, if there's an issue between two people that claim to know Christ, if it's anything other than, If there's an issue and it's anything other than the gospel, that ain't the issue. Someone called Brother Henry one time and he said, I got a problem. We got a problem over here in the church. And he said, let me tell you what it is. And Brother Henry knew him well. If he hadn't known the situation, I know what he would have said. He would have said, go talk to your pastor. He said, don't call me again. But I tell you what he told them. They brought up whatever the issue was, and he told them, he said, that's not even an issue. That's nothing but a distraction. He said, that all that is just distraction. And all it does, it causes envy, strife, and division. He said, if it's not the gospel, if the issue is not the glorious gospel of God's grace, that message that honors Almighty God in the redemption of his people, then it's nothing more than a distraction. Leave it alone. Who then, verse 5, is Paul? And who's Apollos? But ministers by whom you've believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. Men taught of God ought to know. Men taught of God ought to know that preachers are God's ministers. They're called and taught by the Holy Spirit. They are instruments in the hands of the Master for one reason: to preach the gospel. I will give you pastors after my heart, and they're going to teach you with understanding. Preaching is not a popularity contest. And God's preachers must never be a source of contention or anything else. Anything else. This is what they were doing. Preachers are gifts sent from God to His flock to be the proclaimers of God's word, and that to comfort the sheep. This is what a God-called preacher is supposed to do. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. You tell them that their warfare is over. You tell them the gospel. When we were at Gabe's the other day, one of the preachers there got up and said, was talking about the type preaching. He's a pastor, and he was talking about the preaching that he likes. He said, this is the kind of preaching I like. That kind of preaching, he says, that sets forth how God could show mercy to a sinner like me. He said, a message that gives me some hope. He said, don't try to puff me up. I know better than that. I know what I am. He said, you people don't know me like I know me. He said, but tell me the message of God's grace. And he said, let's don't get distracted on anything else. Let's don't have anything else. Who are these men? These men are ministers. They're sinners, saved by the grace of God. Nothing in themselves. And when they've done all that they've been commissioned to do, this is what they will rightfully say: we are but unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Whenever Paul said, we are but unprofitable servants, this is what he meant. God's preachers do not add anything to the glory of God in the proclamation of the gospel. God's preachers don't add anything to it. We preach it. We preach it. We proclaim the truth. And Paul said, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Man, I'm telling you, the glorious message that is proclaimed from this pulpit, if I have another man come and stand in this pulpit, this is the only message. This is the only message that we'll hear from this pulpit by God's grace. This is it right here. It's the same message. He said, I watered, I planted, Apollos, but God gave the increase. You know, the Lord may use one to plant the seed of the gospel in the heart of His elect, and another one He may use to water and nurture that which He's planted for the maturing and for the blessing of that believer. But only God can get the honor for it. The message that we preach, or any other man that has preached from this pulpit, it's not our message. It's the gospel of God, the glorious gospel. Now he that planteth, verse 8, and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Whenever Almighty God calls a man, that man preaches that which God Almighty has taught him. And every man that God calls, Paul says, we're one. We've been called to one work. Same work. A minister of the gospel. We stand in the same relation to Almighty God. Servants. Servants. Called by the same Spirit, preach the same message, and have the same hope of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. He that planteth, he that watereth, are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, let me, I don't even need to say this, but I will. We're not sitting here earning crowns, you know, and be able to get into heaven and just think that all of this faithfulness that we've shown down here, that we're earning these you know, rewards, and we're just going to have just going to be some of us standing there, and we won't even be able to hardly stand up for all of the great crowns and rewards that we're going to. When it comes to rewards, a believer knows that he's going to receive nothing from the Lord that he earned. I can tell you that. Our labor adds no merit to his message or to us. We are who we are by the grace of God. But to hear him say, now here's a reward. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What a reward. Because I know this, it was only by the grace of God that I ever would hear those words. I love the word of the Lord God to Abraham. Listen to this. Now you talk about a reward. Now, let me tell you this, every believer, I'm going to just tell you, let me tell you your reward. When God spoke to Abraham, Genesis 15:1, he said, fear not, Abram. Don't be afraid. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You want to talk about a reward? Let's talk about him. Let's magnify him. Our reward is God Almighty. He has given himself to us. Now let me ask you this. What else is there? Christ is all and in all. Last verse. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You're God's building. This is God's work. This is the Lord's work. The church is his garden. That's what the Lord said. The Spirit of God. Song of Solomon 4. Blow, O north wind. O south, blow upon my garden. Blow, north wind of convicting love and grace, and to teach my people what they are. Blow, O south, Spirit of God, you warmth from the south, and comfort them that you've taught. That the spices, the fruits of God's Spirit might flow out. This is the Lord's garden. And his preachers have been called into the labor. The scripture says, ye are laborers together with God. What does any man, any woman called by God's grace have to boast in save Jesus Christ and him crucified? Then Paul said, and I thought about this in closing, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. The Apostle Paul was telling them, he said, I fed you milk. And he said, I couldn't feed you meat. He said, because of the envy and the strife and division, is the Spirit of God going to teach his people? He said, but you're dull of hearing, is what he said in Hebrews 5. He got many things to say. And I'll tell you this. The Spirit of God matures God's people into walking like believers. I mean, the walk of a believer, the walk in the midst of this world, we've got corruption within, we've got fightings without, and we're in a world and we're not of it. And it's by the grace of God that God Almighty keeps us while we're walking. Lord, teach us to walk as taught, aged believers, for Christ's sake. Amen. All right.